Remember college? Ramen noodles for breakfast, keg stands at the frat house, and that one time you wore a toga to class? Sleep came easy and hangovers were the worst of our worries. We'll be digging through our college days when our knees didn't hurt and we could bend down to tie our own shoes without any help. Then we'll crash land back in reality, where you know your social calendar features more doctor's appointments than happy hours. This will be a hilarious, unflinching look at the journey from dorm room debauchery to dorm filler diplomacy. We'll be chatting with friends whose stories are as legendary as they are relatable. We'll laugh, we'll cry, maybe even apply some face cream together. Getting older might come with many inconveniences, but it also comes with the wisdom, wit, and freedom to tell it like it is. This is Hot Flashbacks.
Okay, and what kind of foods do you like to eat? I don't care.
Well, you know that's tacos.
And your hobbies. You're like, I'm thinking of doing hobbies. What are my hobbies?
They're all like gardening.
Welcome to Hot Flashbacks. I'm your host, Molly Ward, and I am here with an extra special guest today, my friend Stevie, because I don't get to see her very often. So I'm seeing her now. I know you're not seeing her, but I'm seeing her on Zoom. Welcome, Stevie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Let's introduce you a little bit. So why don't you tell everyone how we know each other and then, you know, what you're up to and where you live now. And also you have to include how old you are. It's all relative.
Okay. I am Stevie Emerson. Molly and I met, I'm not sure how many years ago, it's been a while, but through roller derby in our younger, cooler days. Well, cooler for me. I don't want to speak on behalf of you. I now live in Southeast Idaho and
boonies, right? Like kind of
The sticks. Yeah. Up in the mountains.
And you love
it's
it.
Fun. I love it. It's very nice. It's like, I was going to record outside, but like the river is too loud. So like,
must be rough.
Nice, but I didn't want you to have to listen to that the whole time. So it is beautiful. Yeah. But it's nice. Like, not like you can see, but.
Oh, I can see. Yeah, it is nice. So where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Preston, Idaho, and then moved away to go to college. Ended up in Ogden, which is where I got into roller derby and played for 8 years, 8 or 9. And then ended up moving back home. I'm actually in the house that my dad built that I grew up as a kid. So it's an older house. So we have a lot of house projects.
Yeah. That's what old people do to stay busy.
Exactly.
House projects. I like
so
that.
Many of them. Oh, I am 41. And instead of roller derby now, when I spend my time working, freelance graphic design and marketing. And then in my spare time, I have a large garden and I like to make things. So tinctures and preserves and salsa and whatever I can find a use for what I grow in the garden or can forage in the mountains nearby.
Forage. What is a tincture? This sounds like some sort of a drug habit.
Kind of. Well, you take, so I made some with elderberries and choke cherries last year. So you just take it and you distill it in vodka and then you let it sit. And so it's like, it pulls all the nutrients and the micronutrients, all the good stuff. I'm probably botching really wise. So if there's any experts out there, I'm not an expert. I just
that's
look
fair.
At Pinterest and figure things out.
And then,
so, yeah.
And then you drink it?
Yeah, so you just have, it has the benefits of like all of the vitamins and minerals or whatever that berry or whatever your tincturing has. And then it's just like consolidated. So you just take a little shot of it too. Okay. A little shot.
Yeah.
For health purposes.
41-year-old style of taking shots.
Yes. Yes.
Tinctures. I have a friend who makes mead. Have you heard of mead?
I have heard of mead.
I don't even know what that is. It's some kind of a wine, right?
Yeah, it's from honey. Ish? Yeah,
yeah,
I think honey. Mm-hmm. We've never made any, but we've thought about it because it seems fun. But
something you could do in your 50s. Just
right? Something to look forward to.
Any things to get into. You and I were chatting about what we want to talk about today. And we kind of came up with this idea of talking about what our weekends and our nights or even our day to day looked like in our 20s. And did we envision it looking like it does now? And what are we up to now? And how do we feel about it? So I know it's a big span of topics, but tell me where you were living and you were up to and what your 20s were like. You went to college and then stayed in Ogden, right?
Yes. So 20s were college, getting a real job, quote unquote, after college, buying a house. But then I didn't want to be dull. I didn't want to get too old too quick. So then I found roller derby, and that was kind of like my keeping me young factor, young and hip. I thought it would keep me cooler longer, but didn't quite.
I think it worked.
So yeah, it was a lot of just, you know, the work life and, you know, with my husband, and then going to work, and then just roller derby kind of took over all of everything else. I also started a business that was associated with roller derby. So that was most of my time just hustling to get that ready, and then just traveling, practicing. I had to learn how to roller skate. Like I did not even know how to roller skate. So it was a long learning curve for me.
Yeah. One thing people don't know about, maybe don't know or maybe assume about roller derby is that aside from the obvious fact that you're on a team with a bunch of other women your age, which is great and so much fun, there is a lot of partying as well that goes along with that. And I think it also depends maybe where you skate or what league you're in, but there's a lot of late nights, late night practices, going out after practice, practicing on the weekends, going to games, traveling for away games, having after parties after games. And so a lot of late night things that I'm not doing anymore. But at the time, it was what I needed. And again, it's funny you mentioned trying to stay young, because I don't know that I got involved for that reason. I do feel like I accomplished that, because when you graduate from college, you have sort of a lifestyle, and then there's this transition into adulthood. And roller derby for me was a really helpful transition, because I still had all these friends. I still had a group of people who love to do the same thing I love to do. And it was a great social outlet, because sometimes after you leave college, and I went away for college, so everybody's experience is different, but I went away. And so I made this really strong group of friends. And then when college was over, everybody sort of split. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to integrate myself into being 24 or 25 and having a social circle.
Yeah, same. It was very similar for me. Like I had work friends, but it wasn't quite, I mean, you see them every day, but you don't necessarily want to hang out with all the work friends all the time. But actually, I was introduced to roller derby from a coworker. So she was playing, and then I went and watched her, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. Because it just seemed, and this was 2008, I think. So it was fairly early on when roller derby was introduced back to Utah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, the things that make us sound old.
Yeah, my day.
But it was definitely a good source of inclusiveness. I also gained a lot of confidence there. I feel like I found myself, and I found a place where I was more accepted to be my real self, loud, bossy, kind of snarky. I got away with it.
Let's go back to bossy for a second. Doesn't sound true.
Not at all. I am the most mild, soft-spoken person you'll ever meet.
But I mean, in some ways, like, you can find a place in roller derby or whatever it is that you're choosing to be involved in, where you can utilize some of those skills that you have maybe in the workplace, right? So you talk about being bossy, but we can also refer to that as, you know, taking on leadership roles and being assertive and being confident. I remember thinking how cool it was that I was able to utilize some of these skills in a way that felt more productive. And I know you were pretty heavily involved in being on the board for roller derby and taking on some management and leadership roles. And I think that can sort of fill your cup as well.
Yeah. And it definitely helped me. It helped me develop the skills for a wider group of people. So I feel like it wasn't directly applicable from work, because the people at work, you know, wasn't able to like chat or talk to them in the same manner. But that, right. I think it expanded the type of people that I was exposed to. And I had to hone my communication, leadership, because I was also heavily involved in training and as a captain. So you have to finesse some of those things. And I was able to do that there in a way that I don't think I would have otherwise. I probably would have been stuck in my little stubborn ways.
Yeah, there's a skill and a talent in being able to manage folks your age, being able to manage folks and have a friendship.
Yeah,
because that is something that in the working world can be difficult. And I think through roller derby, I learned how to say, okay, I can be your coach in this moment. I can be your trainer in this moment. I can be vice president of membership in this moment, and we can still be friends. And that's something that I think I do pretty well at work that I probably was able to hone early in my development, was being able to separate and say, okay, in this moment, I'm going to take on this role, but we could still be friends when this is all over and we have this tough conversation. So I do think that skill actually translates really well.
And also being able to be a manager and or talk to people, be a teammate and not have to be friends with them, because you don't have to be friends with everybody, but you still have to have some sort of professional relationship that works for the team. And it's not like you're bickering all the time, but you don't get along and be pleasant, but you don't have to be besties.
Would you love everybody? Is that is that what you're saying?
I loved everybody. Not everybody loved me.
That's fair. I loved you. When I think back on some of the experiences I had in my 20s, obviously roller derby is a big part of that. But I also lived in New Orleans. I remember there were times when I didn't go to bed, which now is like unheard of. I mean,
insane. Yeah.
Insane. I remember, I want to say, and just to clear the air, I think we've known each other now for almost 9 years. So, yes. We'll backtrack to that. I remember a time that we took a bus, not really a bus. I don't know, one of those big scary kind of vans. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The 15-passenger.
Yeah. And I actually flew down to Albuquerque. So we took the trip from Ogden, Utah down to Albuquerque, New Mexico. For some reason, I flew. I think that I had to work and I couldn't make the drive, but I took the drive home. It was quite an experience. I remember, you can fill in the gaps here. There was 15 of us with our stinky roller derby equipment.
Yes.
It was a 15-hour car ride, 16 maybe.
Probably.
The person driving, Slayer, if you recall, refused to make stops
or
anything other than like broken bones or failed
Urgency
organs.
Only. Yes.
Yeah. There was somebody laying on the floor. Do you know that little spot in between the door of the van
and then step?
Like it's like a dip, right? There was someone just sleeping in that part of the van.
Yeah, on the right van. Yeah. We're all in rough shape.
Right? It was rough. It smelled. Yeah. I mean, it smelled bad. And there was crying happening. I remember a lot of crying. And then I remember when we had to pull over so folks could vomit on the side of the road. And then we could get back in the van make a trip. Yeah, all to save a couple bucks, really.
I feel like it was more than a couple, but it was definitely, I'm not sure it was worth it.
It wasn't worth it in retrospect, huh?
I don't think so. I don't know. It was fun-ish. That whole trip was wild because we played two games. I think it was two or three games.
And that was two.
And it was outside.
It
was hot. It was only April because it was Easter weekend. So we were trying to hoof it back so people
could
spend time with their family.
Yeah.
Why did we sign up for this?
I don't know. And I think if I remember correctly, we were only there for one or two nights, right?
It was less than 48 hours. I'm pretty sure we got there, played a game. We played both games that
we
day.
Played a game in the morning and a game in the afternoon. And then
we left the next morning, like bright and early.
It was awful. I don't even remember that we stopped to eat. I don't think that Slayer even let us eat anything.
I can't remember that. Well, I tried to help break up.
You refresh these memories.
Right. I was trying to help like drive and she's like, no, I am driving.
Yeah. I mean, the number of hours of sleep I could live on is shocking.
Oh, for sure.
So many times, you know, during Mardi Gras, we used to just stay up. We would go to the parades and they would go so long. And then the next morning there would be another one. So what's the point really in going back? You know, we'll just stay here and drink. And then in the morning we'll put champagne in the cooler instead of beer and just keep going. I mean, I'm sure I was tired, but I just, at the time, I thought it was great. I loved it. I had a great time. I've had a lot of late nighters.
I don't know how, like now I go on vacation. I need an extra day buffer just to recover from vacation. And it's not even like all night drinking, like, you know,
Now if I just have two glasses of wine, I'm cooked.
Yeah, if I don't drink water in between anything, I'm like dehydrated. Like, it's insane.
Now you have to have like a whole method to prepare to even have a glass of wine. And then what's my next day like? So I know how I'm going to deal with it. Was before, I didn't give any thought to what or when I was drinking.
No, and it was like everything and anything. Like kamikazes that the bar in Upton that was like their Long Island iced teas were like, I think I would die if I had one of those.
And that's Utah.
Actually, that's Utah. Yeah. That's not even the places we would go travel, which had way different liquor laws, way stronger drinks.
You know, the thing is that I had so much fun in my 20s. I don't know if I would do it again. I mean, I think if I was living my life over, I would still do it again, right? I would still have all the fun and do all the things while you have the energy and the time and the space and the social grace to get away with it.
Right.
But I don't know if I could go back now that I would want to.
I don't know either. I hate to say, I mean, it's hard to know what you would actually do because all the fun stories and kind of like, what would I be now if I hadn't done all of that?
Like, right.
Super who'd healthy. Maybe if I got enough rest, I wouldn't have these wrinkles. Like, I don't know. Maybe if I drank more water. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. All of these wrinkles here are just probably just from dehydration from my 20s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like people that carry water. I mean, we did drink water because we were competing, you know, skating took a lot out of you. But other than that, I did not like hydrate properly at all, unless it was, yeah. I just figured booze would do the trick. There's water in it.
I mean, you're not wrong that there is water in it. It's very confusing.
It is. In my 20 year old mind, I'm like, this is fine.
Yeah. What was your social life like? I mean, if you were to describe what it was like to be 20, 25, 28, what was your average week like?
Pretty busy. I had big friend groups. I had different friend groups. So always kind of like social butterfly, which thinking back is just exhausting to me. Now, my friend group is very small and I keep in touch with some people, but it's not like getting together like it used to be. So it's just text or through social media, connecting, sometimes a phone call. But yeah, I used to be going all the time with practices and work and then work friends, you know, and then other friends outside of work. So I had three friend groups that I was keeping up with pretty regularly that were fairly separate. There were some overlap, but it was always go. We were traveling. We were just partying, just living it up. So I wanted to be just to like do it all. So when I get old and my body's because I knew it was good. Like we all know we're going to get old. They just don't. You don't know how. I don't know how. Somehow here we are.
And what it's going to feel like.
Yeah. Mentally, I feel like 30. Like I'm like, no, I'm still. And then I look at a picture or something or catch a glimpse of me in the mirror. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. How did we slide this far this fast?
There is something weird about occasionally. I mean, I look in the mirror, right? I look in the mirror lots of times a day. And every once in a while, I look in the mirror and I'm like, is that what I look like? Right. Or a picture. You'll see a picture of yourself.
Yeah.
From last week and think, wow, yeah, now I see why they don't card me.
Yeah.
Because I really do. I feel 30. It's a confusing thing. I feel like I could be 30.
Yeah.
I don't look it and my body doesn't want to be 30. It wants to be 80.
Yeah. No, I hear that for sure.
Yeah. I think that sleep is a really big thing. I don't know how I survived on so little sleep and how I could be so energetic. You talked a little bit about feeling like you want to do all the things and have all these experiences in your 20s. Do you feel like that was an active decision you were making? Like, I'm young, I'm going to do all the things? Or is that just in retrospect that you're having that perspective?
I think I was pretty set on like doing it right. I didn't want to end up old too fast, I think was what I think thinking at the time. I really just tried to not say no to things, like do scary things and do hard things to push myself. So, and looking back, I can, you know, I see how that has been beneficial in some regards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a choice that I made at some level of consciousness. It wasn't completely like on a whim. I had a little bit of a plan of like, I want to do cool stuff. I want to have fun. I want to maximize this while maintaining professionalism and having a job.
Right. Well, and that's interesting because I'm thinking about it now, and I don't know that I've ever thought about this before. I don't know that I ever gave a whole lot of thought to the fact that I, at some point, wouldn't want to do the things I was doing. Like, I just kind of was living my life and not thinking about the fact that I was overindulging in a lot of things. Now, I'm really glad that I did that, that I took the opportunity to have those experiences and try out, like you said, try out all the things, do hard things, find new hobbies, make new friends, stay out late. I'm really glad I did all those things. And at the time, it never occurred to me that someday I wouldn't want to. I just thought I was going to live like this forever. I really did.
Same. Oh, I totally have that. I completely agree on that. I thought, like, since we talked about this, you know, this topic, I've kind of been, you know, kind of replaying the past 10, 15, 20 years and just like at what, see if I could pinpoint when did I stop? There's not a certain point in time where all of a sudden I'm just done with it. It was just kind of, oh, I don't really, like, I did that. I don't really feel like I need to do that anymore. So like, I feel like there's just been a progression of being content. So just the point of I'm content where I'm at. And plus things kind of got too stressful or I was, you know, I went to grad school and then I had an injury. So roller derby kind of became more cumbersome and like I had an injury to overcome. I never was quite 100% after that. And then added in graduate school on there. I was just like, okay, you know what? I've done that. I feel like I'm okay to move on to this next chapter and just kind of shift priorities. So I guess there are a few points where I could probably make a timeline of how I became less cool.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that's part of why I left New Orleans. I love New Orleans, where my soul lives, and I really grew up there. I mean, I lived my 20s and early 30s there, and I feel like that's when I really grew up. I mean, we talk about growing up as being 8 or 9, but when I think about who I am, my personality, my mental health, the things that I like to do, my hobbies, my emotional intelligence, all of those things for me, and maybe I'm just a late bloomer, really didn't come until my mid-20s, early 30s. New Orleans was what I needed when I needed it. And it got to the point where my career aside, because there was some things going on in my career that made me want to look for a new job, but I was tired. I started to realize that being on and being out was so fun. There was always something happening, but it was starting to take its toll. And I started to feel like I needed space from some of that. I thought that if I stayed in New Orleans, I wouldn't get that because it really is a fantastic place. And I'd go back now if I could, but at that moment in my life, in my mid-30s, I thought, I think I need a rest. I think I need to reset. I think I need to pull myself away from some of this to really start living like an old person is apparently what I was attempting to do.
It makes total sense. Right.
You get to that point, your energy, your body, even your social meter craves to just dial back a little bit in a different way. Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
Now I consider myself an introvert.
Yeah.
I think I was performing as an extrovert. I feel like that, like looking back, I feel like push myself out. My comfort zone is to like kind of clam up, but like I kind of forced myself to be more extroverted because I could.
I'm having the energy to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Now I'm just like, I don't, there's just so many people. I just get overwhelmed. I just go home now.
Yeah, because you said that, you know, when I in your 20s that you wanted to go out and have fun and travel and party and stay up late. And now it's very different. And I wonder if there is sort of this shift even for people who are extroverts to becoming a little more introverted as they age. I still would say that I'm an extrovert. I still get my energy from people. But my ability to, so the main difference between, well, there's lots of differences between being an introvert and being an extrovert. But when we really look at it, we're looking at where do you get your energy from? And so an introvert generally is getting their energy from a long time, from being quiet, from being calm, from being still, from having time to themselves. Whereas an extrovert will generally get their energy from being with others, being engaged, being social. And that doesn't mean as an extrovert that I never can be alone or I can never shut up, which I mean, this might be confusing, but it's true. I actually can. And it also doesn't mean that an introvert can't go out and go to a party and have a lot of fun and be social, but that generally speaking, our base is either to get our energy from rest or to get our energy from socialization. And I still do get a lot of energy from socialization. I know because I teach class every Tuesday and Thursday, and I noticed that after class, I'm pretty amped. Like my meter is going up, and just being and interacting with my students really does bring me like a boost, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're thinking about your 20s and your ability to be extroverted, is it truly that you were forcing that or just really able in that stage in your life to capitalize on those moments? Because I find myself being more introverted now, and I'll blame a little bit of that on COVID, right? Because during the pandemic, I had to isolate and I kind of was like, wow,
it's not
so bad. Yeah.
Well, I've wondered about that. I've wondered if COVID never happened, how that would change the trajectory of where I am now. Like, how would that would I be more of the old fun, still hooping it up? Or is it just my battery life is getting lower? I need to take more time to charge it. Because I feel like back in the day, like I just go, Energizer Bunny. I didn't need a lot of that reset, recharge. But now more downtime. And I do like hanging out with people. I do like interacting, but I find myself more exhausted and I get overwhelmed more easily. But yeah, I'm not sure if that's like just that was gonna be my normal path or if like that disruption that COVID gave all of us, if that kind of shifted how things have gone.
Yeah, I actually look back fondly a little bit on that time because I have a lot of energy and I like to do a lot, but I also struggled because of my ADHD to find time to rest and feel ready for the next challenge or the next day. And COVID really helped me to balance that out. I started to realize that not all of my self-worth was tied into productivity, that I could take a little bit of a break. And I think about my weekends when I was a youngin', right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd go from going out Friday night with friends, staying out late, probably sleep in, which is a thing I no longer can do, sleep in. And then, you know, maybe go work at the farmer's market to promote our roller derby team and come home and take my dog out and go on a hike and take a shower, get dressed and go out and stay out all night. And on Sunday, maybe I'm like crazy, relax and watch a movie, but I was doing homework or prepping for work and it was a lot and staying in contact with a lot of folks, calling old friends and seeing friends that live close. And my weekends don't look like that at all anymore. No.
Mine are.
Tell us about a weekend in the sticks.
Depending on the weather, there's always chores to do. So we have about 5 acres here. So there's chores to keep up the place. And then, like I mentioned, the house has a lot of projects. So just whatever projects we're working on. Once the garden goes in, that there's always garden time, several hours, making sure things are good there. If there is hangout time, it's usually with family because I do live around a lot of family. So it's just a lot more laid back, a lot more just actual resting for 2 or 3 days rather than cramming a bunch of stuff in and then trying to recuperate all on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, a lot more relaxed.
You love a brunch now, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure.
Right. Your day to day is jams, berry picking.
Yes.
Foraging.
T-shirts. Yep.
Jealous.
It's kind of nice.
Here's the question. Are you bored?
No.
See, and that's the thing, right? Like I thought that if I asked my 25-year-old self, hey, you're going to be making tinctures and drying out berries and like, what do you think? I'd be like, that sounds terrible. And that sounds boring.
Right.
But here we are.
Yeah. Here we are. Macrame, crochet, all of the little weird old lady stuff. I'm just full send ready for it.
Yeah,
I guess
that's good. But it is good to know that we can embrace life in its phases. And I think that makes me feel good because I'm 42. That's not that old. And I know there's going to be more phases. And I hope that I can embrace them the way that I feel like I have embraced my late 30s, early 40s and saying, gosh, things are different. And I don't get joy from doing the same things, but I still have things I enjoy. And they're different now. And no judgment. I still do feel good. I don't feel bored.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Like that was a big thing I had a hard time with transitioning, like leaving out of the roller derby realm because that's a huge community. I maintain some friendships, but you lose a lot of it because out of sight, out of mind, you're just not in the same places, having the same conversations. So you lose a lot of those friendships. And so it was really hard to figure out who I am after that. Like what do I do now? What parts of those are relevant and I keep those, what parts are no longer a part of me. So that was a big part of, it was hard. It was hard to kind of figure out like, okay, now what? So I think embracing the other stuff, like, okay, this can help fill the time and I get fulfillment out of it.
It is good to know that life happens in phases. I think in my 20s, I very much feared the idea that I was going to be old and boring, right? And as you talked about earlier, sort of, I'm going to do all the things because I don't know what it's going to be like to be 30 or 40 or 50. I think that we get to know ourselves. You explore yourself and you get to know yourself in different ways as you age. And if you can be accepting of that and not judgmental to yourself even and saying, this isn't worse, it's just different. And mm-hmm. I can find joy and acceptance in doing these things. So instead of being in a roller derby drinking situation, now you're in like a crocheting and eating cheese situation. And it's not terrible. You know,
no, it's not. It's not. It is. Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment, though. But it's all it's all good. It works out.
Yeah. And it does feel good to think that it's not all bad. I even now sometimes fear being 50 or 60 or 70. And I hope that in those moments when those things come, that I can embrace them and embrace their differences and like new things, try new things, or do nothing and be okay. Yeah, it does make me feel a little bit better. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you. I'm so grateful that we could relive some of our younger days because I have a tendency to forget about these things. I think it's like repression or old age. And so chatting about them makes me remember how much fun I had. Also still can be really grateful for the time that I have now or the time period that I'm living. So thank you for being here and for sharing. I generally wrap up with this little game called Then and Now Throwdown, where we sort of compare and contrast things from our 20s to our options now. And I want to know if you'd pick the then or you'd pick the now. Do you feel ready?
I'm a little nervous. So let's go. We'll see how it goes.
So we're going to say then, saying yes to everything, which is something we talked about before, right? Just being able and willing to say yes to everything, from crazy camping outings to spontaneous adventures with friends, to maybe more being more comfortable with saying no now and having a smaller circle and more quality time. Which do you prefer?
Now.
You'd take the now. You wouldn't go back.
Yeah, no, I did it then. I did it good. So I'm content.
Happy with where you're at. That's good. This is going to make people feel so much better about aging and changing. That's the idea.
Yeah, hopefully. Or they'll be like, she's so lame.
Yes.
That's the other part.
Well, you're not on every episode. They just have to one. Not think that I'm lame is the idea. So pulling all-nighters or having the not good sleep you have now? Because you mentioned it earlier, but would you rather have that all-nighter where you had so much fun and barely got any sleep, or have what you have now, which is that I didn't have the all-nighter and still got barely any sleep?
I don't think I have the energy to pull an all-nighter with the enthusiasm I used to. Like, I'm just going to be looking for somewhere to curl up and take a nap.
Like a hobbit?
If it's like 3 hours at a time, like whatever, I'll take it. And if I'm just laying there thinking about all the things I need to do, then whatever, that's resting, right?
Yeah. So you're going to take the shorter nights with less partying.
Yeah, it's just too much. And too much effort, too much energy. Can't keep up with that anymore.
Okay, so one of the other great things about being young is that feeling invincible thing, right? Mm-hmm. That it feels like you can live forever. The future can seem endless. You have a lot of optimism, sometimes some naivety. Versus now, sort of this more realistic understanding of life's ups and downs and a sense of accomplishment from overcoming things, but also this sense of it will end, it will change and it will end. Would you take the feeling invincible or would you take the more realistic understanding of what life's all about?
Is there a both option? Because I really like the feeling. I wish I could mesh some of it. And have a little bit more of that invincible part. They do miss just like, I can do this, I can figure it out, like, and just going for it, not really knowing how. Now I'm like, I have to have a plan. Is it worth it? What's the ROI? Like, I don't know. That's a hard one, because I feel like if there was a good balance of both, I would take both. But
yeah, I know that we're not asking me these questions, but for the record, I would take the invincible thing. The idea that the future seems endless, like it just doesn't feel like it's coming. I miss that naivety in some ways. And I also miss the freedom that comes with that, which is sort of like, I can make up for this later. I have lots of time. So I can do the stupid thing or the fun thing or the wild thing. And my ankle's going to recover, or my social reputation is going to recover. Right.
Right. I can apologize tomorrow.
I would take that. Would take that.
That is enticing for sure.
Thank you for being here. I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up. We've had a really good conversation. I appreciate the opportunity to reminisce and also really to provide some perspective about the fact that sometimes being 30 and 40 isn't so bad. And I think in our 20s, we think about, oh my gosh, I'm going to be old and like knit and stuff. And now we're here and it's like, you know, Finding the joy is important. And I'm glad that you've done that. I know you're living your best life out there in the sticks, jamming and foraging for maples or whatever you do.
All the things.
But you also have a legitimate business and a hustle, right? Tell us about that.
Yes. Thanks for having me again. This has been a lot of fun. Hopefully it helps people have some hope of the younger crowd. If they're listening, it's okay to get old and it's good. I have a freelance marketing and graphic design business. It's called SH Emerson Creative. You can find me on Facebook or social media. I put a lot of my projects out there, what I work on or contract work. And then if you're interested in following my adventures personally, we still go camping and do fun things like that. And I'll post on Stevie H. Emerson, also on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being here. It's been a wonderful opportunity to reconnect with you and chat. And this is Hot Flashbacks. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Hot Flashbacks. If you enjoyed it, be sure to follow us on social media and like this episode. Want more content? Smash that follow button wherever you get your podcasts and never miss an episode. Thanks for sharing your ears, friends. I'll catch you on the flip side.